We want to launch into a new series after we spent some time thinking about our vision beginning here in Manchester. I hope that it was challenging and encouraging and hopefully practical as well, as we had a number of our leaders come visit us and really share what God is doing in their hearts for our town here in Manchester. From that, I wanted to jump straight into a new series. We're going to do a New Testament book study, and we're going to do it through the book of James. So whether you have memorized this book word for word or you've never actually really studied through it, we're going to go through pretty much chapter by chapter between now and Advent or Christmas season. And so I wanted to take just a few minutes this morning to kind of introduce the topic. With that, how about I invite you to rise together with me, and let's read this together in one voice. We're reading the NIV, James chapter 1, and to kick off this introduction, we'll look at verses 22 to 25, and this will be over two slides. James 1, 22 to 25, as we kick off our study in the book of James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This is God's word. You may be seated. Please join me in a brief word of prayer. On this Sunday morning, Lord, every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. As we head toward one of the most significant times of the year, Advent and Christmas, we are reminded that not only did you enter into a world, not only did you live a life that we could not live, and you died a death in our place that we deserve ourselves to die. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross that allows us to truly be set free. We thank you for your resurrection that proves who you claimed you really are. I pray, Father, as we think about authentic faith through the next couple of Sundays between now and December, making our journey through the book of James, I pray that these words would indeed bring alive a picture of a genuine, authentic faith that will flow out of our lives and hearts as we pursue you and your passion for people. So lead us and guide us, we pray, at this time. And all the things that Tim White lifted up in prayer, the needs of individuals who are mourning loss of loved ones and battling illness and going through all different kinds of significant life events. May you strengthen us. May you sustain us. May you touch us in a way that only your word and your spirit can do as we point ourselves back to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. This James is not one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, for James and John. This is James, the brother of Jesus. He is technically half-brother, who would become the leader of the Jewish church, who, imagine having spent his whole childhood, youth, with Jesus Christ himself as a sibling. I mean, talk about sibling rivalry or weird family dynamics. Who did you grow up with? Oh, I grew up with Jesus. Yeah, right. No, really. So could you just imagine thinking about that and then him writing this and calling Jesus Lord? In the Jewish context, that means God, the ultimate king. So it's very significant that we have this, and this is a fascinating book that we're going to be going through over the next several Sundays together. The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther did not like this book because in his almost rebirth and challenge, what we call the Reformation, especially in light of the challenges he felt against the Roman Catholic Church, he felt the message of James was in opposition in a way theologically to salvation by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. So he called it a letter or an epistle of straw. He did not like the book of James. Ironically, the book of James has a deep theology that I believe strengthens what we see throughout the scriptures, both Old Testament and New. And James actually has a very practical focus, an emphasis of what does it look like when faith in Christ, a person who claims to truly know God, what does that really look like? And we have a very practical picture of what I'm calling authentic faith. There are more imperatives and commands in the book of James that we will study together than any other book in the New Testament. And I find that fascinating. Didn't know if you knew that or not, but that's pretty cool. It does touch upon a strong biblical theology, not in conflict with the other books of the Bible or the New Testament, but once again focuses on the practical outworking of what genuine, authentic faith looks like. And as we begin, we together, I think, would agree that we all love authenticity. We have a natural abhorrence to things that are not genuine, fake. The first time, as some of you may know, the pastors, we love our coffee. First time I had not fake or a blend, but 100% Kona, whole bean, fresh roasted coffee, I almost died right there. Whew. That was the real deal. Couldn't afford too much of it, but what little that I had, wow, I started to salivate even before that delicious brown liquid entered into my body. Delicious. 100% Kona Hawaiian coffee. There is a power to that which is real and authentic. CNN reported a couple years back a story of a guy named Rick Norzigen who at a neighborhood garage sale paid $45 for two boxes of what the seller thought was junk. He thought even $45 was too much, but later on this Fresno, Californian learned that what he bought for $45 in these two boxes at a garage sale a decade earlier was actually worth more than, get this, $200 million. When he heard that, his knees got a little bit weak. Because what he had discovered he had bought were 65 glass plates in boxes of photographic negatives created more than 80 years earlier by a pretty well-known, iconic American photographer, Ansel Adams, whose images of the West inspired our nation and continue to do so today. $45, but when he realized he had the real deal, an authentic work of Ansel Adams, it became quickly worth $200 million. Anyone want to hit some garage sales today with me afterwards? Webster defines authenticity as an acceptance or belief as conforming to that which is based on fact. That's pretty good. Conforming to an original as to reproduce essential features. Not false, not an imitation, that which is real. That's a pretty good shade of definition. And what our culture loves to shout out today, true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. I think biblically, it's a lot more than that. I like to go to the book of James over the next several Sundays together. Is that which we experience when God does a genuine work in our lives, pointing us to the need, the power, the glory of Jesus. When we experience this authenticity, this gospel, the good news of Jesus, begins to remove the masks that we often hide behind, and I believe truly allows us to be free in every area of our lives. And when we experience that as individuals, as mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children, as grandparents, great-grandparents, neighbors, and friends, as the church begins to exhibit this freedom that comes when Jesus truly changes us in the power of his gospel, the good news of the kingdom, we experience a freedom that is transformative. And the church will never be the same again. Ever since our rebellion against God in the garden, Genesis 3, we have been covering ourselves because we know we are ashamed. We know we don't measure up to God's standards, let alone our own standards. We often hear that argument, I don't want to go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. But deep down inside, you know that you are a hypocrite as well. We don't even live out the standards we impose on others in our own lives. We are inconsistent. We are fallen. We are broken. We are rebellious. We are sinful. That's what the Bible says. And Adam and Eve hid themselves as God drew near, walking in the garden, calling out, Adam, where are you? And what did he say? I hid myself. And often, even as the people of God, that is our struggle. We know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Yet at the same time, the impact, the full glory of what has happened to we who once were lost and far from God has not still been fully realized in our lives, and because of that, we still cover up. That is a lifelong battle and struggle you and I will have for the rest of our lives, but as we experience the power of Christ in our lives, this authentic faith begins to emerge, marked by freedom, because we know ultimately we have been covered by Christ. It is the gospel, and I believe James touches upon this throughout his letter to the churches all over the Mediterranean at this time. It is the gospel that brings back that authenticity into our lives, not a cultural form of it, not what we think as what is authentic, but real, genuine faith that honors God, that loves him, that loves people. It is a gospel that brings back that authenticity in our lives and returns us back to God's original divine intent for our lives. Take out the gospel and all you have is more leaves to cover your shame and your guilt and your embarrassment and your lackings. But the gospel is so powerful because, yes, it strips us bare. And then Jesus comes and himself covers us. When that happens, you'll never be the same. Authentic faith. And so we begin James chapter 1, the passage that we read, this challenge of do not merely, what, listen to the word as we are doing right now, which is a good thing, and so deceive yourselves. The whole theme of James, we find captured in these words, but do what it says. And of course, in doing what it says, it assumes that you have heard and you have listened and you have received. New Testament teacher Douglas Moo says, listening to God's word must lead to doing it. That is authenticity. Only then, by doing it, are we truly accepting the word. It is in doing it, living it out, obeying it, that we know we have truly heard. And that is a real deal. That is authenticity. Paul, unlike some who see a contradiction between Paul always talking about grace, 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 James says, no, work it out, live it out, obey. Paul himself says, we'll flash it up here, Romans 2, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the what? Doers of the law who will be justified. Nearly identical intent from James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I love when crowds were excited, captured by Jesus' teaching and something about his ministry, the crowds and multitudes gathered. They were so excited. Woman in the crowd raised her voice, blessed is the womb that bore you, Jesus, the breast at which you nursed. And you remember Jesus' words to temper her excitement and emotion? Blessed rather are those who what? Hear the word of God and keep it. Do it. Obedience. People can think they are right with God when they are really not. That is the difference between that which is not authentic, fake, and that which is the real deal. Four thoughts as we launch into this idea of what is genuine faith, authentic faith, is the question, how does the gospel allow us to be authentic? And we've already touched upon it, and very quickly, it addresses, first of all, our deepest insecurities by giving us a deep security. Just like what we see in Genesis 3 of us always covering our shame, covering our true selves because we know we don't match up. When one experiences Jesus, we are stripped naked and he covers us completely once and for all, forever, making us beautiful, righteous, and worthy. Can I hear an amen to that? He knows us at the molecular level. He knows our faults, our warts, and all, and yet he has made us beautiful, and he calls us his own forever. The gospel is transformative, and authentic faith begins to flow when we realize that we have the deepest security of all. Take away everything else in our lives, Lord. As painful as loss is, disappointment hurts. Yet in the midst of it, we have a deep security that is unshakable. Secondly, how does the gospel allow us to be authentic? It gives us, as we talked about, a kind of freedom that transforms. Our greatest enemy is not the bad people out there, but it is the bad heart within our own bodies. We are our greatest enemies due to our fallenness of sin. Many bright, gifted, beautiful individuals end up living lives of self-destruction because they have not experienced freedom that comes from Jesus. And the gospel truly sets us free. Free from false expectations of ourselves and what others have for us. Freedom to fail. No failure is ultimately devastating because we know we are loved and secure in Christ. So we're bold. We'll try things. We'll look stupid. We'll fail. We'll fall flat on our faces. And yet in the midst of it, it's okay because we are forever loved and accepted by God in Jesus Christ. There's a freedom when you begin to understand that. Thirdly, there's a new understanding that begins to form as we begin to think about the implications of what Jesus has done for you and I. We'll talk more about those things. And there is a restoration, fourthly, that takes place, that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings into our lives. He heals the brokenhearted. He redeems our past hurts and pains. He takes that which we are ashamed of, transforms it, and uses it for his glory. That is power. And that is what God does in our lives in a faith that is truly authentic. If we are to continue in the vision that God has given to us to pursue him with all of our hearts and his passion for people, the number one thing people in our community, as they come across us, coming to church, visiting one of our small groups, hearing what we're doing at Keeney Street School, all the different things for Hope for 10 that are happening across our communities, great, great things. But as they encounter us, do they find something that is real? Or is it fake? And I pray that as we journey through James together, that we will begin to get a picture of what it looks like when faith is real, when God is real, when Jesus is real in our lives, what it does to us, how it's lived out between us and God, but us and one another in the midst of conflict and challenges and stepping on one another's toes and disagreements. How does Jesus really make a difference in the midst of trying to live out our calling as God's kingdom people? And so I love what author Paul Bilheimer writes. The local church is a spiritual workshop for the development of agape love. It is one of the best laboratories where believers, and those who will become believers, will struggle with one another and grow. Don't you love that illustration? We're a workshop being worked together upon as we work out our faith in all its glory and messiness. And that's okay if there is mess, as long as it is real, it is genuine, it is authentic. And so as we go through the book of James, I believe that James will continually point us back to his brother, Jesus. Because, and I'll end with this, and I shared this during our Starting Points class for membership yesterday morning, and it really spoke to my own heart as well as everyone that was there. Jesus did not only die for us on a Roman cross, but he showed us how to truly live with God's original intent, purpose, love, and design in our lives and all of our relationships. He demonstrated it. What does it mean to live beautifully, meaningfully? The Bible uses the word righteously. We look to Jesus because he is the real deal. He is 100% authentic. It wasn't just the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that covered up and tried to look something that they weren't. It's all of us, Genesis 3. And I believe that as James challenges us to look back at the one life that was lived, that was 100% authentic, perfect, he really was who he claimed to be, and lived it out perfectly, unlike you and I. As that Jesus gets deeper in our own hearts and lives, the faith and lives that will form will be 100% a reflection, we hope, of this Jesus who was the truly authentic one. The world is looking for people and for a community that can live out what they say they believe in with authenticity. And this generation, even whether it's the older or the younger millennials, they can sniff out that which is fake. And so I pray in the midst of us moving forward with our vision, that as we pursue God and his passion for people, that as people are pursued and invited and wooed and loved into our family, our home at Trinity, that they would not see a perfect people yet, but authentic ones that truly exhibit the life and love of Christ. With that, join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we know, even maybe from a situation that maybe just happened an hour ago this morning, that we fall short in so many areas of our lives. We hate the hypocrisy and the inconsistency, the fakery of our own hearts and lives that we battle with every day. Lord, we pray this morning as we launch into a journey through the Epistle of James, more than being depressed or discouraged, I pray that we would be transformed as we once again encounter the one who was 100% authentic. Son of the living God, the shepherd of our souls, the Lord of glory, the Prince of Peace, the living water, the bread of life, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Reveal yourself to us once again and allow this tribe called Trinity to exhibit a kind of faith that reflects the authentic one, the Lord of glory. And so we thank you, Father. We're excited to be challenged and encouraged and blessed as we journey through this incredible book. Be with us, we pray, Lord. Forgive us for our inconsistencies. Transform us in such a way that faith would be real. Teach us what it means, finally, Lord, to not just be hearers and studiers of the word, but also doers, so that we do not deceive ourselves. We thank you. Give us the grace to do so. We pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.